Well, glory be to God. How you doing this morning? This is Pete Cooper with Heart of the Father Ministries. I'm bringing you another episode of American Christian. Today we're going to look at Psalm 37. Doc is not here today. He's down in the lower region of the country, and he's got a final night of preaching in Florida. So we just lift him up to you. Lord, we thank you, God, for the work that you have given Doc Nichols, Lord. We thank you, God, that you have sent him out. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that he is obedient unto your ways, God. So thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these listeners. Lord, we ask, and I ask, Lord, that you would equip them, build them up in the way that they should go, Lord. Father, that you would bring them a boldness and a courage in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, hey, you know, today in my reading, I was in Genesis, and I was going back over the wells that were dug back in the days of Abraham and Isaac. It was just interesting to me, right? That the Lord had blessed Abraham in such a way. And then his sons were blessed, and his sons after him were blessed. And I was just thinking about, you know, digging wells. And one of the things that I was thinking, you know, I've drank from a lot of different wells. I drink from Doc Nichols's well quite often. There are other people that I drink from their well as well. And it was something that the Lord had put upon my heart this morning, which is this. Look, Pete, you need to dig your own well, and you need to drink from it, and then you can share what you've drank with others. And I thought, wow, that's pretty insightful. See, because what ends up happening is when you start drinking from other people's wells, right, arguments start to come in because, you know, they may or may not be teaching right things or wrong things, or these are their ideas, or this is their doctrine. Things can become traditions of men. You know, there's the well of hostility, and there's a well of open spaces, but then there's the well of the oath. You know, Sheba was the final well that gets dug in the town of Beersheba. And this is where Isaac had set up his camp. But look, Psalm 37 is kind of where I landed in after I was, you know, I'm doing reading through the Bible in a year. So I have a chronological Bible. I don't know if you've ever looked at a chronological Bible. They're pretty sweet. They're really, for me, it's just really to be able to read through. I use the NLT on that. It's a little more paraphrased than it is a word for word, but it just allows me to read very smoothly through what is going on from beginning to end. And so if you're trying to use it as a regular Bible, you're always digging back into the index to see where certain passages and like what page is it on, because the whole thing is written in a chronological order. So just, you know, there it is, another tool for you to grab a hold of, you know, make a little mental note. Hey, chronological Bible. Let's start reading it together. I mean, I'm moving through the year. I haven't done this in quite a while. It's probably been maybe 5 years since I've read through the Word of God. And even then, I was telling my wife, I said, you know, I don't even know if I've even read through the whole entire Bible ever. Like, I think I've been in almost every book, but I don't think that I've read through the Bible. So, you know, right now, you'd be about 12 days behind me. But you know what? You can catch those up. Just read a couple of days. Each day is, you know, it's outlined right in there. You know, January 12th, what we're going to be reading. I do this in the morning and at night. For me, just being caught up and making it a main staple of what I am consuming on a day-to-day basis. Amen? All right, so Psalm 37 says this, verse 1, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Don't fret because of evildoers. You know, sometimes we can get focused on people that aren't doing right. You know, maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's a coworker. You know, maybe it's a guy that you used to know. Maybe it's somebody that's taking advantage of you, and you're starting to get fed up with that. Look, the Lord says, don't fret because of what they're doing. Don't fret, and this kind of rolls, for me, it rolls over into the political world. Don't fret because of evildoers or be envious of the workers of iniquity. You look at what evil people have, and you start to wonder, like, why do they have so much? And then you start to fret about it because you're like, well, how come wicked people have more than what God's people have? And I would say this, they don't. They don't have more. It's an illusion. And it's part of a tactic that the enemy brings against us to get us to start to worry about things. Don't fret because of evildoers. Don't fret because of what's going on at Capitol Hill. Don't fret because of what your congressmen or what your senators are doing. Don't fret because of what the county commissioner is doing. Don't fret over these things. Because this fretting, what it does is it starts to become a burden and starts to become a weight on you. Amen? So in verse 3, and this is the thing, this is kind of the rebuttal to it, is trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You know, trusting in the Lord and doing what's good. Scripture even tells us, look, don't grow weary in doing good. And I remind myself of that verse, listener. Don't grow weary in doing what's good. Continue to do it. And why don't grow weary in it? Why? Because you're going to get weary in it. The Lord's telling you, look, you're going to start doing good and doing good, and you're not going to see results as quickly as you'd like to. You're going to grow weary in it, and then you're going to start backing off from doing what's right. Do what's good. Do what's right. Trust in him. Delight yourself. Delight yourself in the Lord. I'm delighted in the Lord. I can say that I'm delighted in the Lord. I'm not worried about what other people are doing. It doesn't matter to me who's in power anymore. And I got caught up in all that. Back in 2016, I started paying attention to the political world. I started listening to talk show hosts. I started moving into this place where, man alive, I started becoming consumed with what these evil people were doing. And God's saying, look, I have control over this. I'm in charge of everything. The devil listens to me. I don't listen to the devil. I make my plans. The devil doesn't change my plans. He doesn't make me go in a direction that I don't want to go. I'm in charge of this. I hold the timeline. He answers to me. Amen? All right, verse 5. Verse 5 says this, commit your way to the Lord and also trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Committing our ways to the Lord, committing your day to the Lord, whether you're a mom or a dad, whether you've got young children, or whether you've got kids that are in school, or if they're teenagers, commit your way to the Lord. Don't commit your way to education systems. Don't commit your way unto political systems. Don't commit your way unto ideologies that are outside of the Word of God. Don't commit your way to idolatry. Don't commit your way to picking up your phone every 12 seconds and just checking on your status or seeing if anybody's texted you or going into Instagram, you know, every 15 minutes or into Facebook. There's so many things right now, listener, that tug at you that you need to start to lay some of these things down, because he says that he's going to bring forth your righteousness as light and your justice as the noonday. It's going to shine. So if you've got anybody that's coming at you, just trust in him. Commit your ways to him. Don't commit your ways to what you're feeling, but commit your ways unto what he says. Amen? Because it says this in verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And waiting patiently for God. To wait means to spend some time. You know, I suppose maybe you're waiting on a serve from Andre Agassi, right? Which comes in like 0.03 seconds. Shoomp. But I'm talking about spending some time and carving out time out of your schedule. And wait patiently for him. Don't fret because of people that are prospering outside of your way. If you are doing what's right, God is going to uphold you. God is going to promote you. God is going to bring you into a place that you've never been before. That's what he does. He's a promoter. He gives you uncommon promotion. That's the way that he works. He orders the steps. We don't order the steps. God's steps for one man aren't the same steps for another guy. And what God does in one man's life, he can do for you. So sometimes you don't go through the first five steps. You just go from step one to step five. God is an accelerator. He does great and marvelous things. Look at the life of Joseph. Look at the life of Abraham. Look at the life of Isaac. Look at how the Lord had moved Peter and Paul, how he moved the apostles into the whole world at the time, was the whole world, that they moved in. Thomas went to India, and not a lot of people know that. Did you know that? Did you know that Thomas was the apostle that went to India? And you think about what India looks like today. It's a hard place. It looks like it's a hard place to be a Christian, but you know what? There are many very loyal Christ followers in India. Hallelujah. Shout out to Joe T if you're listening. Anyway, this is the other thing. In verse 8, it says to cease from anger. And think about that. Forsake wrath. Don't fret. It only causes harm. You think of the harm that fretting does to you, the weight that it puts on you, the mental strain that it can put on you. You know, being angry all the time, making rash decisions, because he just got done telling you to rest in the Lord. Don't get angry. What anger does is it's a short fuse to do something that you're going to regret. You're going to do something unbiblical, and you're going to do something, right, that you're going to have to go before the Lord. Almost every time. Well, you know, you can be angry and not sin. Well, a lot of people can be. Don't sin in your anger. That's something that a believer can do. But look, I know angry believers. And you know what? It never does them any good. It puts you in a prison. Anger will put you in a prison. And you're the only one in that prison. You're the only one. You're the one that holds the key. You put yourself in a prison when you start getting angry at stuff. And look, trust in the Lord. And moving into that place of trust, right? Ceasing from anger. The harm that anger brings is to yourself, and it can bring it to others. And generally, when you think about getting angry, what is it? Because you're not getting your way, because you don't get what you want, because you come up into something and you don't like what you see, you're not liking what you hear, so you get all and you let it go. Happened to me the other day. Came home, and so anyway, had to repent. So look, I'm not saying that it's never going to happen to you, but I'm saying that when it does, it's going to bring conflict into your spirit. It's going to bring conflict into your mind, into your heart. And you have to learn how to lay these things down and wait upon the Lord. All I needed to do was just, first of all, to back away. Step one, back away and analyze what's going on here. Instead of just flying off into it, right? That's generally what ends up happening. Is that we start making assessments and we start bringing in judgment into certain situations. Verse 9 says this in Psalm 37. It says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Don't fret. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off by those who wait on the Lord. Evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. That's the first reference to inheriting the earth. Evildoers are going to be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. If you haven't figured out what's happening yet, which, I mean, every now and then, you know, you come into these things, but what's actually happening here in Psalm 37 is that we are walking into promises. God has promises. And one of the things that I often say when I'm out in front of people, hey, can you list 10 promises of God? Go. Well, immediately we're like, But, you know, can you tell me 10 things that Joe Biden messed up? Can you give me 10 things that Trump mismanaged? Can you tell me, whatever it is, whatever season of whatever TV show you're watching, tell me, name for me 6 of the characters, right? Like there's certain things that we have retained in our mind, but look, I want you to start thinking about promises of God. And Psalm 37 has 25 promises listed into it. Amen? 25 promises are found in Psalm 37. Hallelujah. So the first promise is that we are going to dwell in the land forever, that we are going to be fed, that we are to give our desire, give us the, that God will give us the desires of our heart, right? Verse 4. Verse 5 says that he will bring things to pass. Verse 6, he will bring righteousness as light and bring justice as the noonday. God does that. It's a promise, listener. We're trying to get into the promises of God, but we're having a hard time recalling them, and we're recalling the things of the world, things of the flesh. It's quick to list these things off. You know, list to me 5 characters in Lord of the Rings in the first movie. List for me who was in the movie Mission Impossible 3, right? Who's the lead actor in, right? What's the plot to the movie, whatever. I'm just saying that, like, pay attention to the things that you can recall quickly. And I want you to start thinking about realigning the way that you're thinking about God's word. He says that evildoers shall be cut off. Not only does he say it once, but he says it in verse 9. He says it in verse 20. He says it in verse 22. He says it in verse 34. He says it in verse 38. He's doing this work. The transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. Verse 38. Look, don't concern yourself with what the wicked are doing. God is in control of things. You can pray about it. You can petition the Lord about it. But getting all flustered and worried and getting yourself all worked up over the fact of what a certain candidate or what a certain problem that's happening at your workplace, look, just take it before the Lord. Before you take it yourself, send up a hot air balloon and just say, hey, look, Lord, what do you think about this? How do you want me to respond to this? How am I supposed to work through this? Retribution will get you into trouble. Saying words of retribution can get you into trouble with the right people in the right crowd. You start to say things like that, they can bring trouble on you very quickly. All right, let's move forward. Verse 10 says this. This is another promise. For yet a little while the wicked shall be. For yet in a little while the wicked shall be no more. Say that. The wicked will be no more. The wicked will be no more. For indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but shall see it no more. But it shall be no more. And I remember, you know, kind of being in that, yeah, whatever happened to that troublemaker, the crazy maker, whatever happened to them? Like, I don't remember them being around. It was like I was looking for them and then they weren't there. And that's what the word says. Look, you don't need to concern yourself with it. God's going to concern himself with it. He's the one that's going to make your justice and your righteousness shine. He will take care of the wicked. You're going to look for them and not find them. They shall be no more. And he also says this, but the weak shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I like that. That's also quoted in Matthew 5:5, right? That the meek shall inherit the earth. Well, who are the meek? You know, sometimes, we forget about what a certain word. Meekness is somebody who has strength that withholds it. They have the ability to do something and they choose not to because they would bring harm. It's like a karate guy, right? And he's being mocked or something's happening in a certain situation and he just backs down. You've seen this. Look, I'm not going to get all worked up over what this guy's saying because if I was to do something, I would hurt him terribly. Meekness. Look, let's just leave it alone and let's just walk away. Amen? Meekness. They're the ones that will inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Dude, right? Like, you can do something about it, but you choose not to. Meekness. If I do something, I'm going to hurt you. Therefore, I'm not going to do anything. That is an attitude of peace. Let's just be in an attitude of peace. You know, and I guess with all that being said, you know, up through verse 11 here, is this kind of the idea that we want to be in a place where the Lord can use us. You know, this is a way for us to live. You know, and already, I'm sensing that even through these words that many of you have just kind of went from a 7 down to a 4. Like, oh, yeah, this is God's word. These are God's promises. Amen? Learning how to be still. So, Father, we just thank you. We just thank you, God, that you can bring wisdom to your people, Lord, that you can open a well, Lord, that we can drink from, Lord, that you have promises that we can adhere to. So, Lord, bless your people right now. Lord, do not let them be envious of the workers of iniquity, but Lord, that they would trust in you and continue to do what's good, to feed on your faithfulness, Lord. Father, that they would delight themselves in you. And Lord, you say that you will grant them the desires of their heart. And Lord, when they came to you and they were quickened and they became new creatures, Lord, you put a desire in their heart. So Father, I'm asking for those desires, Lord, that they would come forth, that they would come back into a remembrance, Lord, of what you had promised. And Lord, that they would move in pursuit of those promises. It's not just one promise that he's given to you. It is a promise, Lord, that you've given throughout this entire song, that you placed this upon David's heart, and that David wrote it. They're blessings of obedience. So we pray this in your mighty name. Let them go forth and multiply in Jesus' name. Amen.